Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. John chapter 15, turn with me there if you will. And we're going to continue in our series that is entitled Jesus. And there again, our goal is to know Jesus better so that our relationship will go deeper with him and that our witness will be more effective for him in the earth. Amen. And so Paul said this, there again, just a little bit of a review. He said, I've given up everything and I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want to know. And when he says no, he's talking about an intimacy level that a wife and a husband has. He wants to know that deep of an intimacy. He said, I want to know Christ, not just a casual relationship, but an intimate, a personal relationship. He said, I want to know Christ to that depth. And he says, any of those things that would clutter my life or that would begin to stink up my life, kind of like garbage does, right? If it sticks around too long, it's going to stink. It's going to clutter. It's going to get in our way. And Paul said, I consider those things that would clutter my life or that would hinder my relationship with Christ, those things are garbage. And so I want to get rid of those things and get rid of those hindrances, if you will, to my relationship with Christ, regardless of what it is. There again, that's, in the world's mind, absolute insanity. But when you consider the fact that if we get Jesus wrong, then nothing else matters, then not only is that not crazy, if you will, but following after Christ and getting rid of those things that would hinder our relationship with Christ is the only sane conclusion. And so one of the ways that we can get past the battle, if you will, in our minds for some of those things that we may have to walk away from is to know Christ better. I remember the day that my dad passed, literally the very moment that my dad passed. We were there, we were at his bedside, and I remember. Now, you got to understand something about my dad, is my dad wanted to live. He loved life and he loved family and he didn't want to get away from any of them. He loved to witness and to work for the Lord. And so, and he believed that it was 120 years. That was his promise. And so he was going to live to 120. That was what his goal was. And so it was never a question. You know how they've heard somebody that say, you know, we're going to have to pull the plug, you know, or pull life support system. Well, that was never a difficult decision for Dad because Dad was always, don't pull the plug. If you got something else, plug that in. You know, don't pull the plug on me. He wanted to live. But I'll never forget the moment that he transitioned from this life into glory. He had a smile on his face that went from ear to ear. And when that smile reached both ears, he was gone. Why? All of a sudden, he saw what was awaiting him. And all of this, as wonderful as it is, some days are good, some days are bad, as much as he loved family and so on, the Lord opened up his eyes into eternity, and he saw what awaits all who believe in Christ. What a hope we have. Amen. And so it's not crazy to maybe give up some of those things, but it's the only sane conclusion that we have. So we want to know Christ better today than we did last week. We want to grow in our relationship with him and in our witness for him. So we're looking at seven statements that Jesus made that gives us insight into his heart, into his life, into his mission. And so today we're looking at John chapter 15. Let's start at verse 1. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And then he tells us why. He says, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, we will bear much fruit. And then he concludes it, or he rounds it all up by saying this. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So here, Jesus gives us a glimpse of the big picture. Now, whenever we can get a glimpse of the bigger picture, whether it's at your job, your boss pulls you over and begins to share some things about the bigger picture, about the future, so on, or in your relationships, or in the community, whatever the case may be, when someone is willing to let you in on the bigger picture, you better show up, you better pay attention, and you better take notes. Here's why. Every time more is revealed, understanding grows. Well, what's the big deal with that? Well, when your understanding grows, it's easier to see your place and to see your purpose in that particular situation. How many go through life not understanding what they are to do in life, let alone in a particular situation? But if you would just stop and pay attention, your understanding would grow so that you would know what your place and your purpose is in that particular situation. It's like when your spouse opens up and begins to share more of themselves with you. You know, when they begin to share more of their hopes and their dreams and more of their, maybe their faults and failures, maybe their fears or their strengths and weaknesses and so on. When they begin to share those things, what they're doing is they're allowing you to see a bigger glimpse of who they are as a whole. And so when that happens, trust me when I say you better show up, you better pay attention, and you better take notes, because in doing so, if you want a successful relationship, you're going to have to pay attention. And when you're allowed into those private areas, the information that you're given is priceless, because now you begin to understand what to cover versus what to be exposed. You begin to understand how to encourage them in particular areas, how to strengthen them. And then there's times when they'll reveal to you how to tread softly in that area, right? We just don't go certain places anymore in our relationship. Amen. We just don't go there, you know, because we understand how they tick, how things happen. And so because of that understanding, that bigger glimpse, if you will, into who they really are and to where they really want to go, then your understanding grows so that you can walk alongside of them and you can be a productive part of that growth, of those goals that are being set and those goals that are being accomplished. Now you're part of the solution. When it comes to what Jesus says, it takes it to a whole nother level. Because not only is he not giving us a glimpse into today, but he gives us a glimpse with the big picture in mind. In other words, he knows all and he sees all at the very same time, the beginning from the end of not only us, but everything. And when someone who has that ability speaks, baby, you better show up, you better pay attention, and you better be taking notes. Because they're giving us information that literally will change everything, because it's part of the huge, the big picture that we can't even comprehend. Why do you think the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak? Amen. So when it comes to Jesus, we better pay attention. So here in John 15, it's a perfect example, because here Jesus is giving us a glimpse of his role, of our role, and of God's role in light of the big picture. That's very important. So we're not just going to run past it. We're going to stop. We're going to meditate upon this. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us how this applies to me so that I can be part of the solution. Amen? So he starts out by saying, I am the true vine. Now, Jesus uses the example or the illustration, if you will, of a grapevine and how that plant works as an illustration of how his plan is going to be accomplished. And so how many want to be part of God's plan? Sure, I know that you do. I know that's in your heart. So when Jesus begins to reveal this thing, he begins to show us how his plan's going to be accomplished in the earth. And so in a grapevine, the vine is the source from which nutrient-rich sap. I don't know if it's sap or milk or what they call. Each one is kind of different. You know what I mean? But it gives basically that life-giving fluid, whatever you want to call it, to the branch so that the branch can produce the fruit. In the same way, Jesus is saying, I am the source of everything that we need to produce fruit, to live and to do God's will. Now, the Holy Spirit gave this revelation to Paul and he shared it with us, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn with me there, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Here's what he says. There is one God, the Father, who created everything. And we live for him. If you're not sure why you're here because you were created by God. And you were created for God, for his purpose. Amen. A lot of people struggle with that, but it's basic stuff. But Paul said there's only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for him. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom, notice this, we need to pay attention to these wordings because he's there again. This is giving us glimpses of the bigger picture. Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything, and through whom we have been given life. This life is more than just a simple existence, if you will. It's so much more than that. Jesus himself said in John, he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, we're not just existing, but Jesus offers us true fellowship with God. He offers us power over sin. He offers us the ability to be loved and to love. That in itself is worth giving our life to him. Just to feel love, to be loved, and to love someone, to have them close to you. I mean, what a blessing of the Lord that is. But he doesn't stop there. He offers to us the ability to effectively share the gospel. He offers us health and strength and so much more. You see, Jesus is telling us he's the very source, not only for life itself, but life in abundance. All of these things that we enjoy on a daily basis, a life to its fullest. And he's not stingy. You ever met someone who is stingy? I remember in school, and I have no idea why I remember this, but I do. And so I remember we were supposed to be writing some stuff on the chalkboard. How many remember a chalkboard? Did you ever go to school when they had one of them? Yeah, I think all that stuff is phasing out. But anyways, we were supposed to write something, so there was only one piece of chalk. So the kid that was assigned to go up with me to begin to write stuff on the board, the teachers, we'll break that in half, and you give one to Matt, and you keep one. Well, he broke that in half, and he looked at both pieces. One was larger than the other. Well, guess which one he gave me? You take that one. Smaller one. Stingy. See what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I'm just saying that there are people who are stingy with their stuff. God is not. I know sometimes we experience lack, and sometimes we feel like, does God even know where I am? But trust me when I say God is not stingy. Peter said it like this, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has given us, past tense, everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and godliness. The psalmist said it like this. He said, the Lord God is a sun and shield, and he'll give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There is nothing that God withholds from us in order to live life, to do God's will, and to do it successfully. Not a thing will he withhold from us. Amen. Everything we'll ever need for life and for godliness has been given to each and every one of us. God doesn't hold anything back, and it's all in Christ, the vine. Here's why that happened. Peter said in verse 4, he goes on to say, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So all of those things are given to us so that we can participate. I remember back in school, I hated it when it came to picking sides for teams, because I knew I would always be at least in the last two. But I, you know, when it come to it, I would always be one of the last ones that was chosen. But here in the kingdom of God, Jesus wants everyone to participate. No spectators, but participants. Do you remember a few months ago when we talked about what God's will is? And we said that His will is very simple. He wants us in His family, and He wants us to grow His family. And so here we see that simple truth again, that Jesus is the source of everything that we need for life and godliness. He doesn't hold anything back. Why? So that we can be in His family. We can participate, we can be in His family, but not only that, but that we can grow His family. That's why Jesus calls us the branches. He said in verse 5, back to our text, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me, I will remain in him, and he will bear much fruit. Now, though each part of the plant has different names, the vine, the branch, the fruit, so on, the roots, all that stuff has different names, but the sum of the whole make up the plant. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us may have different names. Each of us may have specific roles that we play in the body of Christ, but all of us together, the sum of the whole, make up the body of Christ. We're still collectively the body of Christ. Your toe is not your body in and of itself. Your toe's no more your body than your elbow is. But your toe and your elbow make up part of your body. They're part of the collective body called you. So though Jesus calls us the branch, we have to remember that we're not the plant in and of ourselves. We're part of something bigger. And that's significant because we live in a very selfish world today. A lot of me, 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 me. A hot topic that we blame a lot of dysfunction on in our society today is low self-esteem. And so what's the answer? Well, society believes, well, we need to build them up so they'll have a high self-esteem. And I understand the logic of what they're trying to do, but here's the problem. The problem is that they're the center, or they're the focus of their thinking, me and mine. You see, a low self-esteem is consistently saying, they're telling themselves, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, there's no way. No, I'm not smart enough. No, I'm not rich enough. No, I'm not pretty enough. Whatever you want to fill in the blank, but I'm not whatever it happens to be. Where a high self-esteem is constantly saying, well, ain't I pretty? Their favorite piece of furniture is a mirror. Well, of course I could do that. It's like why would you even ask me if I could do that? Of course I can do that. Of course I'm smart enough. Of course I'm the answer. What's the common denominator with both? I. John said this. He said, Jesus is above all. And so he said, in my life, here's what needs to happen. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. Yes, we're part of the equation, but we're not the whole equation. What we have to remember is that we're a part, not the whole. That Jesus is the source, and we have to remain in Him, keeping Him as center of our lives. How do we find that balance? Romans chapter 12. We get some insight into this. Romans 12 and 3. The balance is found when, first of all, we give our bodies to God by letting them be a living and a holy or a godly sacrifice. Secondly, what we need to do, he says in verse 3, is we need to have our thoughts lead us to good judgment. And that's to be based on what God has given each and every believer, the portion of faith that God has given you. We don't think too highly of ourselves, but we do so in accordance with what God has given us or what he has helped us to do in the earth. So our focus shifts from us to Jesus and what he's given us, those gifts, those talents, those things that we have, and we use those things in serving Christ. That's where we find the balance. And we know that he's talking about service, or the context is in serving Christ, because he goes on to say, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. What is it that you do well? There's specific things that you do well in your life. It comes natural. Those things come from God. So that, let's continue to read on. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Or in other words, he's saying you speak in the context of what God has called you to do. Don't think highly of yourself, but you just operate in that gift, and you operate in the faith that God has given you in the moment. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. Do your best at it. If you're a teacher, then teach well. Put time into it. Don't just show up and say, hey, here I am. Let's see if we can learn something today. If your gift is to encourage others, then get after it. He says, be encouraging. How many have ever been around somebody and you just are so uplifted when you're with them? They have the gift of encouragement. Don't say, well, I don't have that gift, so I'm off the hook. No. You want to be an encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. Woohoo! How many of you ever had to have something and had somebody bless you with the gift of giving? What a blessing, huh? Sure. If God has given you leadership ability, then take that responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what's good. Look at what he says. Love each other with genuine affection. Oh, aren't you nice today? Look at that dress. It's so good to see you today. Oh, my word. Can you believe we had to sit by them in church? Take delight in honoring each other. And then verse 11, he says this. Let's round it up with this. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. All of these gifts that he's talking about flow through the vine, which is Jesus Christ. That's why it's vital that we stay connected to him, so that we can use those gifts and those talents that he gives us for him and produce fruit in our lives. What does that fruit look like? Well, that fruit looks like souls being added to the kingdom every day. It looks like people being encouraged, communities changed for the good, broken homes mended, poverty being eliminated, righteous leadership in our government and in our schools and in our homes and in our communities. For you personally, it looks like more patience. It looks like more peace. More love and joy and kindness, goodness and faithfulness. All of a sudden, instead of jumping off and being angry, all of a sudden you find yourself more gentle with people. Instead of falling in the second that you're tempted, you find yourself having more self-control over your body, over your tongue, the words that you say. How do all these things happen? These things happen by staying connected to the vine and allowing that fruit that God produces, which is the kingdom being advanced, and us being a better husband and a better wife and a better friend and a better employee. All of those things are fruit of staying connected with Jesus, which is the source. And everything he says that we need for life and for godliness comes from him. And what does that look like? As the branches, we produce fruit. And then he goes on to say, my Father is the gardener. So he tells us that God is the gardener. And he says this, he says, the gardener prunes for fruitfulness. Not just haphazard. You know what I mean? specific, purposefully planned pruning. That's God. Why should we be aware of this? Why is this something that we should pay attention to? Well, look at verse 2. Because he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. Ouch. And then every branch that is bearing fruit, he prunes. Why? This is very important. If you want to understand one of the vital things about God and why he does what he does, it's right here. Jesus isn't holding it back, but he's making it as plain as day. He prunes so that we will be even more fruitful. In other words, what God will do is he'll redirect blessing from someone who's not being faithful in their stewardship with that blessing. And what will happen is what God's given to them, he'll redirect it to someone who is. We see that in Matthew 25. Do you remember the parable of the talents? There was three total, two doubled, one buried what they was given. And so Jesus said, the master of the house said to that servant who buried that talent, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. Listen to this. Take that talent from him or from the one who didn't do anything with it and give it to the one who has 10 talents, the one who made the most, who doubled. And then he tells us why. He says, everyone who has, in other words, everyone who is producing fruit will be given more. You remember in the Old Testament where the Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. Great insight into the heart of the Father. He said, everyone who has or is producing fruit will be given more and will have abundance. Abundance of what? Seed to sow. Needs met. Something left over to bless, to sow, to advance the kingdom of God. Do you see that? And whoever does not have or whoever is not producing fruit, even what he has will be taken from him. And then he says this, which is mind-boggling. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, while that sounds awful, what we have to remember is that the gardener or God is all about fruitfulness. Remember what the word says. He would that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. Listen. If God takes that so seriously that he would send his one and only son to be tortured and to be crucified on a cross for us, then surely it can't be hard to believe that he would redirect blessing or redirect resource from those who are doing nothing with it to those who are advancing the kingdom of God. That's what we call a no-brainer. It's not that God doesn't love us, because he does, with an everlasting love. A love that we can't even comprehend. That's how deep and wide and high the love of God is. We can't even comprehend how much he loves us. But it is that very same love that will cause him to redirect the blessing, because maybe one of your relatives is the one that needs to be reached. And so someone who has, that's not doing anything with God, will redirect to someone who will go to your mom or to your dad who needs salvation, or to your brother or to your cousin or to someone in your family or someone at your work. He'll redirect it to someone who will sow that seed and will help someone to get closer to Jesus. Kind of means a little bit more when you put it like that, Pastor. It's not that he doesn't love us, because he does. He's all about fruitfulness. Jesus also said he prunes those who are fruitful. Question, what does he prune? Think about it just for a moment. What are those things that he prunes? There again, think of what his goal is. His goal is more fruitfulness. So what do you think the things are that he prunes out of our lives? It's those things that hinder our fruitfulness. Simple. It kind of helps us take out the garbage. Remember we talked about that last week, how easy It is to take out the garbage because eventually it's going to stink. Eventually it's going to clutter everything. Eventually it's just going to be a nuisance. And so we bag it up and we have no problem taking it out to the receptacle because we want to get it out of our lives. What about those things that are hindering us, that are stinking up our lives, that are cluttering our lives, that are hindering our relationship with the Father? Those are the things that He wants to prune. Those are the things that He wants to get rid of. It's funny how sometimes when we get pruned in life, maybe it's a friend or a job or excess stuff or just whatever the case may happen to be. You know, we work so hard for this and it's gone. And they're not necessarily bad things. I'm not talking about necessarily sinful things. But when that happens, when God prunes it, we consider it to be a great loss, or sometimes we even look at it as being punished by God. When in reality, if we were honest with each other, we would admit that those particular things, they're again not bad things. It's just those particular things, whether it's a friend or it's just some particular thing, that particular thing always seems to be what hinders me from my devotion time with God, from my relationship, from maybe coming to church, from maybe witnessing to somebody. All of those things, they're again not bad things, just in me and in my personal life, they hinder me in my relationship with Christ. There again, what is the goal? Fruitfulness, right? So when God prunes those things, there again, it's not that He doesn't love us, because He does. He just simply wants us to be more fruitful. That's why Paul said, I consider those things that would clutter my life or hinder my relationship with God and knowing Christ and being found in Him, I consider those things as garbage. In other words, I don't want them in my life because I don't want what they'll end up doing to me and to my relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'll gladly get rid of them. I would encourage you this week to make sure that in the busyness of life that we stay connected to Jesus, because He's the one who's going to help us to stay patient. He is the one that's going to help us to stay focused, to be gentle and to be kind and to have more self-control. He's the one that's going to help us to advance the kingdom. And so we need to make sure that we stay faithful, to stay close to Him, to stay in Him, because you got to remember, we've been called to fruitfulness. So stay close to Him and use your gifts and talents to share the gospel and to be a light. And when God shows you something that may be cluttering up your life, or after a while it may be sneaking and it may hurt your relationship, don't look at it as He's punishing you. But just say, Father, I thank You for Your faithfulness. You love me so much that You see what will keep me from getting closer to You. And show me, okay, it's time that moves on. And just get rid of those things. God will give you the grace for it. He'll give you the help, the life, and the strength for it. And you know what? He'll even fill your heart with joy. How many of you have ever cried walking to the garbage can? I don't want to get rid of this 10-day-old loaf of bread. Oh, look at all those orange peels. Look at those eggshells. Oh, and we're just bawling as we're headed to the garbage can. No, it's finally, you see, man, the house is starting to smell better. Why? Because we got rid of that stuff. Let's look at the same thing as our heart, as the Lord just gently deals with us with those things and say, thank You, Father, that You want a relationship with me. You want me to go deeper in my understanding and knowledge of who I am in Christ and in my relationship with Him, and allow Him to make room for increase in your life. Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.